right? And a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. Radamadhava Jaya Kundalini Jaya Radamadhava Jaya Kundalini Gopijana Balama Jaya Giri Bharat Akhi Jaya Giri Bharat Chana Bada Pa Jaya Giri Bada Dari Jaya Giri Bada Dari Yasoda Dandana Jaya Vrsha Jana Dandana Yasoda Dandana Jaya Vrsha Jana Manachari Nayo Kunjami Hari Nayo Kunjami Yamuna Tira Manachari Nayo Kunjami Hari Kunjami Hari Yamuna Tira Jaya Kundalini Jaya Radamadhava Jaya Kundalini Gopi Jana Bharava Jaya Giri Bharari Giri Bharari Gopi Jana Yamuna Tira Parachari Nayo Kunjamiyade Kunjamiyade Yamuna Tira Parachari Nayo Kunjamiyade Jaya Kunjamiyade Randamada Jaya Kundalini Jaya Radamadhava Kundalini Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paracharya Arthakara Satishi Shivan His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanada Bhaktivinanda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Gadadha, Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopika Padna Shaim Kunda, Radhakunda Girigovardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuradam ki jai, Jagadatasami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Lasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, All glories, he assembled the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari 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 Bol. So, send a message. Okay, so, gang. Okay, my own Vishnu Bhadaya, Krishna Bhadaya. Bhutale, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharane, Nivashaya Shashunyavadi, Paschacha Dejatarni. So, Omagana, Timidanda Shah, Gananjana, Shlakaya, Chakshuram, Meditam, Yena, Tasmai, Shigarve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly dragged me out of the ocean of nations while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, let's see. We are going to go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's all right. And so we are reading Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay. So we are ready. Oh, there's my phone again. I think I need to put it on mute. Give me a second. If I don't put it on mute, all day long people are calling me, telling me what to do with my life. Okay, here we go. Mute. Okay. We're getting ready to go. Now we're going to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are on Chapter 7 of the Adi Leela, and I believe it's text 40. We're going to start with today. Here we go. Share the screen. Okay. And I'm sorry, yesterday I didn't give anyone else the opportunity to read because it was too much ecstasy. I forgot that I was in the material world. Okay, so let's go. Oh, actually, we're in the wrong chapter. hold on. I was in too much ecstasy. Let me change to the seventh chapter of the Adi Leela. Hold on a second. Adi 7. I have to be careful of being in too much ecstasy. It interferes with my service to Krishna. Okay, here we go. All right, 7:40. Vrindavana yaite prabhu rahila kashite mayavadi ganatan re lagila nindite. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through Varanasi on his way to Vrindavan, the mayavadi sannyasi philosophers blasphemed against him in many ways. Purport. While preaching Krishna consciousness with full vigor, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu faced many Mayavadi philosophers. Similarly, we are also facing opposing swamis, yogis, impersonalists, scientists, philosophers, and other mental speculators. And by the grace of Lord Krishna, we successfully defeat all of them without difficulty. Text 41. Sanyasi haiya kare gayana nachana Nakare Vedanta Pata Kare Sankirtana. The blasphemer said, although a sannyasi, he does not take interest in the study of Vedanta, but instead always engages in chanting and dancing in Sankirtan. Purport. Fortunately or unfortunately, we also meet such Mayavadis who criticize our method of chanting and accuse us of not being interested in study. They do not know that we have translated volumes and volumes of books into English and that the students in our temples regularly study them in the morning, afternoon, and evening. We are writing and printing books, and our students study them and distribute them all over the world. No Mayavadi school can present as many books as we have. Nevertheless, they accuse us of not being fond of study. Such accusations are completely false, but although we study, we do not study the nonsense of the Mayavadis. Mayavadi sannyasis neither chant nor dance. Their technical objection is that this method of chanting and dancing is called Toratrika, which indicates that a sannyasi should completely avoid such activities and engage his time in the study of Vedanta. Actually, such men do not understand what is meant by Vedanta. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, text 15, Krishna says, Vedais cha savayar amat aham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. Lord Krishna is the actual compiler of Vedanta, and whatever he speaks is Vedanta philosophy. Although they are lacking in the knowledge of Vedanta presented by the Supreme Personality of God in the transcendental form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mayavadis are very proud of their study. Foreseeing the bad effects of their presenting Vedanta philosophy in a perverted way, Srila Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Srimad Bhagavatam is Bhashyam Brahmasutranam. In other words, all the Vedanta philosophy and the aphorisms of the Brahma Sutra is thoroughly described in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, the factual propounder of Vedanta philosophy is a Krishna conscious person who always engages in reading and understanding the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and teaching the purport of these books to the entire world. The Mayavadis are very proud of having monopolized the Vedanta philosophy, but devotees have their own commentaries on Vedanta, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and others written by the Acharyas. The commentary of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the Govinda Bhasha, and I'll talk about that in a second. The Mayavadi's accusation that devotees do not study Vedanta is false. The Mayavadi's do not know that chanting, dancing, and preaching the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, called Bhagavata Dharma, are the same as studying Vedanta. Since they think that reading Vedanta philosophy is the only function of a sannyasi, and they did not find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in such direct study, they criticize the Lord. Srivad Shankaracharya has given special stress to the study of Vedanta philosophy. Vedanta Vakyeshu Sara Ravanta Gopinavanta Kalo Bhagyavanta. It's really funny. I mean, the Sanskrit's really funny. Sorry, you'll hear the translation. A sannyasi accepting the renounce order very strictly and wearing nothing more than a loincloth. It's a Kopina. They should always enjoy the philosophical statements in the Vedanta Sutra. Such a person in the renounced order of life is to be considered very fortunate. The Mayavadis in Varanasi blaspheme Lord Chaitanya because his behavior did not follow these principles. Lord Chaitanya, however, bestowed his mercy upon these Mayavadi sannyasis and delivered them by means of his Vedanta discourses with Prakashananda Sarasati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. First of all, what is Mayavadi? Exactly what it sounds. One who thinks that everything is Maya. So, the way you can identify a Mayavadi is that he may be worshiping Krishna, may be worshiping God, but if you ask him about what is the ultimate liberation, he will say merging into the existence of the Lord, losing your existence, or becoming God, or one of the other things that are very similar to that. So that's what and this material world and everything is Maya. All variety is Maya. And then if you ask him about the material, not the material, but the Lord's form and the Lord's activities, what about them? He said, well, that's also illusion ultimately when you rise to a higher stage. And you worship the Lord now so that ultimately you could give it up and understand that you were simply Brahman. Yes, you are Brahman. That is a fact. But you're not simply Brahman. You're Brahman with qualities. Sa-guna Brahman. But they're interested in nirguna Brahman. So that's the first point. Another point is the word Vedanta means the conclusion of the Vedic literature or the teachings of the Vedic literatures. So what is the conclusion? As Prabhupada quotes from 1515 in the Gita, by all the Vedas, Krishna is to be known. That is Vedanta. So let us talk about what the Vedanta Sutra is. Vedanta Sutra. Sutra means like a thread. So they're very short. Sutras are very short statements by which someone who is actually intelligent can understand much more. Just like if someone is very educated, you don't really have to get into the details on how to do something. If I say to you, for example, some of you who have some brains, I'll have to give an example that I talked about today. I said, turn on your computer, then you'll figure out how to do it, hopefully, because you have some experience. So that's like a sutra. I don't have to say, push that button and hold it for 10 seconds and wait till the light goes on and put your password in like that. And this key is an A, this key is an H, this key is a G, this key is an F. You don't have to do that because you already know. So sometimes when we're dealing with people who are challenged in that way, we have to give them things that are very simple. Very, very simple. For example, in driving a car, most people, at least nowadays, don't know how to use a stick shift. So you just say, put it to the D and go forward. But when I was young, you have to learn how to coordinate what? The clutch with the gears. And at one point, I was driving a 15-gear vehicle. That's pretty good. Not only coordinating the clutch with the gears, but coordinating the upper set of gears with the lower set of the gears. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but it was interesting. No, I was not a race car driver. So anyway, it's a 15-speed vehicle. Today we were speaking about setting up permanent video setup for our temple and talking to Jagadguru and everything like that. And I said, we have to set it up so dummies can operate it. I didn't use that word, dummies. Anyway, I used another word. It wasn't as nice as dummies. So for people who are, let's say, philosophically dummies, the Vedanta Sutra doesn't work for them because it's just like really short, pithy statements. For example, atato brahmajyasa. Now is the time to look for the absolute truth. How would you know how to deal with that? Or janma dyasya yataha. The absolute truth is that from which everything comes. And how do you deal with that unless you have some other knowledge that goes along or you've been trained? So the Vedanta Sutra, let's talk about the Vedanta Sutra itself. The Vedanta Sutra is basically a very short commentary on the Upanishads. The Upanishads, there are 108 principal Upanishads. They're part of the original Vedic literature, what we call original, you know, the four Vedas, Yajurveda, Atharva, Sama, and Rig Veda. And so they're considered, many Vedic scholars consider them Vedic along with the four Vedas. So anyway, so the Upanishads, and the Upanishads are philosophical literatures. So the Vedanta Sutra verses are actually connected with certain verses in the Upanishads. So the Vedanta Sutra is very difficult for people who are not philosophically trained or don't know anything about the Upanishads to understand. Therefore, there were commentaries written on them. We have Shankaracharya, who wrote his commentary called the Sarirakya Bhasha, which is a Mayavadi commentary, to bewilder people. And anyway, there's a purpose, and I'm not going to get into the whole purpose of why he did such a thing. And then You have the acharyas like Sripad Ramanujacharya in his Sribhashya, wrote a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And I mentioned I was going to talk about Baladeva Vibhushana's commentary. Okay, because every bona fide spiritual, let us say, disciplic succession or path in India has to have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. That's what gives you your bona fideness. So, once upon a time, and this is an interesting story, once upon a time, not too many years ago, there was a problem. What was the problem? There were deities in Vrindavan that were taken out of Vrindavan and sent to this place called Jaipur. That was for the protection of the deities, because Jaipur was invaded by the Mughals, who destroyed temples and tried to smash deities. Anyway, these deities were named Radha Govinda. And Radha Govinda were taken, and they were put in the altar in Jaipur, right in the king's palace. So some of the king's advisors, they were to expert deity worship. They knew a little bit of the philosophy, but not the whole philosophy. They're called Ramanandis. And they said to the king, there's a problem here. We know Krishna's God. Yeah. But who's this girl next to him? We never heard of Radha before. Not appropriate to have God with his girlfriend. Okay. So what they did is they took God's girlfriend, Krishna's girlfriend, sorry, and put her in a different temple. And Krishna was there alone on the altar. And when the devotees in Vrindavan heard about this, and the other Gaudiya Vaishnavas who were there in Jaipur heard about this, they sent a message to this great soul named Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And they said, we have a problem. We have a problem. You have to solve it. You have to convince these people it's wrong. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quite old at that particular point. So he said to one of his disciples, Baladeva Vidyabhushana, you should go and take care of this. So Baladeva Vidyabhushana went to Jaipur, and Jaipur is a taxi ride, maybe 4 or 5 hours away from Vrindavan, at least when I was there. Maybe it's shorter now that there's a highway. So anyway, so he goes all the way to Jaipur, and he has a discussion, and he defeats the Ramanandis, who basically were responsible for separating the two deities. You know, he defeats them. And they say, all right, but we really can't accept what you said because you have no commentary on the Vedanta Sutra that actually establishes this fact. And Baladeva Vidyabhushana said, yes, we have a commentary. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the natural commentary written by Srila Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra. And they said, well, that's an excuse. Not really true. And actually, it is true. But they didn't understand. They said, well, you have to have, every sampradaya has to have a commentary. Every branch of the sampradaya. You're the Gaudiyas. You got to have your own commentary. And then Baladeva Vidyabhushana thought very carefully at that point. And he thought, well, what are we going to do? There's no Gaudiya commentary. Let me think. And then he said to them, I will show you a commentary in a few days. And they said, okay, let's wait and see. And you better come up with a commentary. So he went, Baladeva Vidyabhushana went before the deity of Govinda. He said to the deity, you put me in this trouble, so you better get me out of it. How am I going to come up with a commentary? This shows that when Krishna wants something, a devotee can do miracles. There's no impediments. There's no impediments in devotional liberty. The success order of the spiritual master contains all the potency of the Supreme Personality of God. It's hard, not really described. And the deity dictated this whole commentary, which is obviously called the Govinda Bhasha. Please don't send any chats unless there's a problem with the internet. Oh, there is a problem. Okay, I am breaking up. It's good for a sannyasi to break up. How about now? Is it still garbled? Better, a little better. Okay. Let's see. Let me just see. I got the right microphone on. How about now? Actually, that was because of the internet, not the microphone, because I just saw a message that the internet was going down. Okay. So I am going to turn on my spare hotspot if this happens again. Let me know if it happens again. And I will go on to my alternative internet. So, okay, getting back to the point. Hope everybody heard me up till now. Hopefully I don't have to backtrack. So anyway, so the deity dictated this whole commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And then he presented the commentary, and then all these Ramanandis surrendered to him and became his followers. This is called the Govinda Bhasha. That means the commentary written by Govinda Dev, the deity. And getting back to the story, so then they brought the deity Radharani back, and Krishna was there with his girlfriend again. That's nice, isn't it? You don't want Krishna to be lonely. So the devotees explain this whole pastime in a very esoteric way. How do they explain it? They say that once upon a time, whoops, now I gotta mute you all again. That's what happens when you switch microphones. So, all right, they said that once upon a time, the devotees, Krishna had an argument with his girlfriend, Radharani. Forgive me for calling you Radharani, but Radharani is Krishna's girlfriend. I mean, either you ascribe to Parikya Ras or Swakya Ras. And I think of Parikya Ras. Anyway, so Krishna had an argument with Radharani, and Radharani walked away. So they explain this whole occurrence in an esoteric way, as a pastime between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. It was a very interesting explanation. But in any case, exoterically, the Govinda Vash got written, and that was Baladeva Vijayabhushana, who Prabhupada made reference to above. Now, one more statement. Vedanta Vakyeshu Saravramanta Kupina Vanta Kalo Bhagyavantaha. Sannyasi accepting the renounce order, very strictly wearing nothing more than one cloth, should always enjoy the philosophical statements in the Vedanta Sutra. So there's two ways of understanding that. One is the way the Mayavadis understand it, that basically that's all they should do, the sannyasis. Another way that we understand it, Ramanta Sada Ramanta. Vedanta Vakyeshu Sada Ramanta. He was always enjoying. Ramanta means to enjoy. Sada means always. Always enjoying the statements in the Vedanta Sutra, dancing and chanting. That's how you enjoy the statements. Because you won't enjoy them just by reading them. That's not enjoyment. Enjoyment is practicing. You understand? Like you read. You're not the body. You're not the body. Okay, that's very blissful. But now I'm not the body. I'm not the body. Everything's in this world is illusion. It's temporary. Your body is temporary. Everyone around you is temporary. Your money is temporary. Your wife is temporary. Everything is temporary. Your soul, even my body, of course, believe the soul is temporary. The soul's individuality is temporary. Yeah, how can you enjoy such thoughts like that? I would don't want to speak with a pejorative word. How can you enjoy that? It's not enjoyable. The only way to enjoy the statements in Vedanta is when the Vedanta says that you should be absorbed in Vedanta or be absorbed in Brahman by following the order of the spiritual master. And then the order of the spiritual master is to always chant and dance, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master told him. That's real Vedanta. Okay. Murka sannyasi nija dharma nahi jane. Bhavuka hiya fere bhavukira sane. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an illiterate sannyasi and therefore does not know his real function. Guided only by sentiments, he wanders about in the company of other sentimentalists. Boy, they're really blaspheming him. Even though he was so educated that before he took sannyas, he was known as Nima Pandit and was able to defeat every single person on this earth, even persons who the Saraswati. So, purport. Foolish Mayavadis, not knowing that the Krishna conscious movement is based on a solid philosophic philosophy of transcendental science, superficially conclude that those who dance and chant do not have philosophical knowledge. Those who are Krishna conscious actually have full knowledge of the essence of Vedanta philosophy, for they study the real commentary on the Vedanta philosophy, Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the actual words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as found in Bhagavad Gita as it is. After understanding the Bhagavad philosophy or Bhagavad Dharma, they become fully spiritually conscious or Krishna conscious, and therefore their chanting and dancing is not material, but is on the spiritual platform. Although everyone admires the ecstatic dancing and chanting of the devotees, who are therefore properly known as the Hare Krishna people, Mayavadis cannot appreciate these activities because of their poor fund of knowledge. Just one other comment. I was listening to devotees taking a course the other day, and they were asking the devotees the question, why did Prabhupada call it Bhagavad Gita as it is? And I don't think anyone came up with the right answer. At least I didn't hear the right answer. Of course, my knowledge is always right. But anyway, the reason Prabhupada called it Bhagavad Gita as it is was in response to Prabhupada's having used previously to teach the devotees Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita. It's actually an historical reason why it was called Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's not, you can't really take it out of the historical context. Because Prabhupada, when he came to America, he didn't have his Bhagavad Gita published. He was using Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita, and Dr. Radhakrishna in his Bhagavad Gita was giving the wrong interpretation of some of the verses, not every verse, you know. Some of the verses he got right, like a few of them he got right, but especially the verse, you know, man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajimam namaskuru mami vaishti si satyam te patijane priyosime. Where Krishna says, you should always be my devotee, worship me, thus you come to me, you are very dear to me, etc. So Dr. Radhakrishna states in his commentary that when Krishna says these things, what? He's not referring to himself. Like if I say, you should listen to me, I'm obviously referring to myself, not to some hypothetical, unborn, beginningless me. So Dr. Radhakrishna, he made these ridiculous commentaries. And so when Prabhupada finally published his Bhagavad Gita, he decided to call the Bhagavad Gita as it is to actually, as a response or whatever, to his having utilized Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita, because he was so upset with Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita. Someone said Bhakta Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita or something like that. Replacing the B with the D in both words in the sentence. So with Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita, so his calling it Bhagavad Gita as it is an emotional, let's say, response to being angry, which is emotional, with Dr. Radhakrishna. Anyway, just so you understand why it's called Bhagavad Gita as it is. Okay, next text. Se sabastu niya prabhu hasi mani mane upeksha kariya karo nahai kaila sambhasane. Hearing all this blasphemy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merely smiled to himself, rejected all these accusations, did not talk with the Mayavadis. As Krishna conscious devotees, we do not like to converse with Mayavadi philosophers simply to waste valuable time, but whenever there is an opportunity, we impress our philosophy upon them with great vigor and success. Upeksha kariya kaila agamana, matura dekiya punar kaila agamana. Thus, neglecting the blasphemy, there's the internet connection is unstable again. So that's really what's the cause. If you hear some problem with the audio, it's because of that. And if it gets really bad, I'll switch to my other provider. Thus, neglecting the blasphemy of the Varanasi Mayavadis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to Mathura, and after visiting Mathura, turned to meet the situation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not talk with the Mayavadi philosophers when he first visited Varanasi, but he returned there from Mathura to convince them of the real purport of Vedanta. Kashite lekara shudra Sri Chandrasekhara Tandragare Rahila Prabhu Swatantra Ishvara. This time, Lord Chaitanya stayed at the house of Chandrasekhara, although he was regarded as a Shudra or Kayasta, for the Lord, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is completely independent. Lord Chaitanya stayed at the house of Chandrasekhara, a clerk, although a sannyasi is not supposed to reside in a Shudra's house. 500 years ago, especially in Bengal, it was the system that persons who were born in the families of Brahmins were accepted as Brahmanas. And all those who took birth in other families, even the higher caste, namely the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, were considered Shudras from non-Brahmanas. Therefore, although Sri Chandrasekhara was a clerk from the Kayasta family in Upper India, he was considered a Shudra. Similarly, Vaishyas, especially those of the Sivarna Bani community, were accepted as Shudras in Bengal, even though the Vaishyas, who were generally physicians, were also considered Shudras. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, did not accept this artificial principle, which was introduced in society by self-interested men, and later the Kayasthas, Vaidhas, and Vanaks all began to accept the sacred thread despite objections from the so-called Brahmanas. Before the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Suvarna Vanak class was condemned by Balal Sena, who was then the king of Bengal due to a personal grudge. In Bengal, the Suvarna Vanak class are always very rich, for they are bankers and dealers in gold and silver. Therefore, Balal Sen used to borrow money from a Suvarnavanik banker. Balal Sen's bankruptcy later obliged the Suvarnavanik banker to stop advancing money to him, and thus Balal Sen became angry and condemned the entire Suvarnavanik society as belonging to the Shudra community. He tried to induce the Brahmanas not to accept the Suvarnavaniks as followers of the instructions of the Vedas under the Brahminical directions. But although some Brahmanas approved of Balal Sena's actions, others did not. Thus, the Brahmanas also became divided amongst themselves, and those who supported the Suvarnavanik class were rejected from the Brahmin community. At the present day, the same biases are still being followed. There are many Vaishnav families in Bengal whose members, though not actually born Brahmanas, act as acharyas by initiating disciples and offering the sacred thread as enjoined in the Vaishnava Tantras. For example, in the families of Thakur Raghunandana Acharya, Thakur Krishnadasa, Navani Hoda, Rasikananda Deva, disciple of Shamananda Prabhu. The sacred thread ceremony is performed as it is for the caste Goswamis, and this system is continued for the past 300 to 400 years. Accepting disciples born in Brahmin families, they are bona fide spiritual masters who have the facility to worship the Shalagram Shila, which is worship with the deity. As of this writing, Shalagram Shila worship has not yet been introduced in our Krishna conscious society, but soon it will be introduced in all our temples as an essential function of the Archana Marg, deity worship. Actually, maybe we'll let someone else read at this particular point. Hold on a second. Let's see who has their hands up. Okay, just one person, Rakesh Das. Here we go. You can unmute yourself and read if you like.
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Jai Haribol. So, all right, see, why don't you read?
Tapan misrer ghare bhiksha nirvahan sanyase sange nahi man nimra nimantran.
Okay, hold on a second. I got a page down. Okay.
As a master of principle, Lord Chaitanya regularly accepted his food at the house of Tapan Mishra. He never mixed with other sannyasi, nor did he accept invitation from them. The exemplary behavior of Lord Chaitanya definitely proved that a Vaishnava sannyasi cannot accept invitation from Mayavadi sannyasi or intimately mix with them. Sanatana Gosani Asi Tanahai Milila Tanra Stikcha Lagi Prabhudu Masrahila. Lord Chaitanya, when Sanatana Goswami came from Bengal, he met Lord Chaitanya at the house of Tapan Mishra, where Lord Chaitanya remained continuously for 2 months to teach him devotional service. Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami in the line of disciplic succession. Sanatana Goswami was very learned scholar in Sanskrit and other languages, but until instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not write anything about Vaishnava behavior. His very famous book, Hari Bhakti Vilasa, which gives direction for Vaishnava candidates, was written completely in compliance with the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his Hari Bhakti Vilasa, Sri Sanatana Goswami gives definite instruction that by proper initiation by a bona fide spiritual master, one can immediately become a Brahmana. In this connection, he says, Yatha kanchantam yati kamasyam rasa vidhanatha tatha diksha vidhane divya jatvam jayate nranam. As bell metal is turned to gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. Sometimes those born in the Brahmana families protest this, but these have no strong argument against this principle. By the grace of Krishna and his devotees, one's life can change. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by the words of Jahati Bandham and Sudhayanti. Jahati Bandham indicates that a living entity is conditioned by a particular type of body. The body is certainly an impediment, but one who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instruction can avoid this impediment and become a regular Brahmana by initiation under his strict guidance. Sri Jiva Goswami states how a non-Brahmana can be turned into a Brahmana by the association of a pure devotee. Prabha Viswan Namaha, Lord Vishnu is so powerful that he can do anything he likes. Therefore, it is not difficult for Vishnu to change the body of a devotee who is under the guidance of a pure devotee of the Lord. Tanre Sikhel Stabe Vaishnaver Dharma Bhagavat Adi Sastren Yat Gudha Marma. On the basis of scripture like Srimad Bhagavatam, which reveals this confidential direction, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami regarding all regular activities of devotees. In parampara system, the instruction taken from the bona fide spiritual master, must also be based on revealed Vedic scripture, who is in the line of disciplic succession, cannot manufacture his own way of behavior. There are many so-called followers of Vaishnava cult in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who do not scrupulously follow the conclusion of the Shastra, and therefore they are considered to be upper sampradaya, which means outside of the sampradaya. Some of these groups are known as Ola Bola, Karthabhaja, Neda, Darsven, Shani, Sahijya, Sakhi Bheki, Smrta, Jata Gosani, Ativadi, Udhadhari, Gauranga Nagari. In order to follow the strictly the disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should not associate with this asampradaya community. One who is not taught by bona fide spiritual master cannot understand the Vedic literature. To emphasize this point, Lord Krishna, while instructing Arjuna, clearly said that it was because Arjuna was his devotee and confidential friend that he could understand the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. It is to be concluded, therefore, that one who wants to understand the mastery of revealed scripture must approach a bona fide spiritual master, hear from him very submissively, and render service to him. Then the import of the scripture will be revealed. It is stated in the Vedas, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasyet kathita hai artha prakashante mahatmanah. The real import of the scripture is revealed to one who has unflinching faith in both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master. Srila Narottam Das Thakur advises, Sadhu Sastra Guru Vakya Hridaye Kariya Aikya. The meaning of this instruction is that one must consider the instructions from the sadhus, the revealed scriptures, and the spiritual masters in order to understand the real purpose of spiritual life. Neither a sadhu, saintly person, or Vaishnava, nor a bona fide spiritual master says anything that is beyond the scope of the sanction of the revealed scripture. Thus, the statements of the revealed scripture correspond to those of the bona fide spiritual master and saintly person. One must therefore act with reference to these three important sources of understanding.
Okay, you can end there, and then we'll take questions at this particular point. All right, let's go back, stop sharing, and stop muting. Give me 1 second, I will unmute you all. Okay, so you are all free. Not free, but at least you're free to ask questions.
Hare Krishna Guru.
Yeah.
Obeisances. I was like thinking about the part in the reading when it said, when Krishna wants something, there are no impediments. And I was thinking of Prabhupada and how his journey was difficult for him. And I know there's like the hero's journey and like the opportunity for victory, but it seemed like there were not impediments, but definitely difficulties. And so
yeah. I was
about that kind of.
Yeah, that's true. They're not actually impediments. They're challenges. And that's how a devotee sees things. There's no problems. There's challenges. And remember, does everybody remember the other word? It begins with an O. Who remembers the other word?
Opportunity.
Opportunities. Yeah. There's challenges and opportunities. There's no problems. No problems. Everybody should see positive language, challenges and opportunities. So, and actually these things that Prabhupada encountered helped him in Krishna, helped him carry out his mission. And also acted as a test, as an opportunity to get better internet. I have better internet. Already, I'm just not using it. So, anyway, these things help Prabhupada. They glorified Prabhupada. It's part of a hero's journey. It actually glorifies someone and it refines and focuses their devotion. Like Prabhupada said, an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. And also, it's not glorifying. You know, Prabhupada were to come to America, let's say Prabhupada got on a nice airplane, flew first class in an airplane, came to America, everybody was greeting him, you finally came, threw money at Prabhupada's feet. He was on the front page of the New York Times. I'm just giving a hypothetical here. It's not so glorious. It's just like, well, whatever. But because Prabhupada struggled, it's like the hero's journey. And you'll see this in many cases in Vaishnavas' lives. I mean, look at Dhruva Maharaj, look at so many different other Vaishnavas who had to go through challenges and opportunities. It's glorious. So we have to expect the same. It's not going to be, it's not going to be easy. But that's the fun. Fun means struggle, learning, refining oneself. That's the fun in Krishna consciousness. You know, how much fun would it be not to have any material desires? Be a lot of fun. Anyway. But the point is to recognize them. We confuse our material desires with spiritual desires or with spiritual emotion. It's really interesting. So many of our interactions, attractions, repulsions, whatever, we confuse with spirituality. I mean, I'll just give you a gross example of that. Don't worry, it's not a sannyas example. But let's say, I'm trying not to offend anyone like I usually do. Let's say I want to be Krishna conscious and eat a lot of glubjamins because glubjamins make me Krishna conscious. Okay, here's an example. So you're confusing with the lust of you're confusing the lust of your tongue with spiritual desire. Because if you actually were interested in taking prasadam, it would make you Krishna conscious, it wouldn't make a difference. What type of prasadam? For example, the devotees commented to Prabhupada once, I was listening to this, Prabhupada, whenever you leave remnants, the devotees always want the sweets, but they're not interested in the other things so much. Therefore, you have a devotee like, not just a devotee, great personality like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the way he would take prasadam, I'm not advocating this for anybody, is that he would mix everything on his plate. Sometimes, not every time. And he would take prasadam that way. Another point is that, we used to do this experiment. After the Sunday feast, there was some prasadam left over. So the next morning, we'd put it all in a big container. Not that big, of course. Put it all in a big container and mix it. And serve it out for breakfast the next morning. Devotees didn't like it that much, but it was all prasadam. So sometimes we confuse the impulses of our tongue with spiritual impulses. Sometimes we confuse the impulses of our eyes with spiritual impulses, the impulses of other organs on the body with spiritual impulses. Everything is so spiritual. Our love is so spiritual, dear. Sorry about that. These sannyasi things just happen to creep out from time to time. So but we have to understand. I mean, in other words, I'm not criticizing anyone for having material impulses, for liking red lollipops instead of every other type of lollipop. Remember when I was a kid, you got these lollies. And you always liked the red ones because I always loved the red taste. And the other ones, yellow ones, I couldn't stand. And the green ones, especially. Who wants to eat a green lollipop or suck on a green lollipop? So we can. So I'm not criticizing someone who simply likes red lollipops. But to be honest and not think that spiritual. To think that, oh, my desire for red lollipop prasad over purple lollipop prasad is actually, or Tootsie Roll prasad, anyway, is actually spiritual. You have to be honest with yourself. That's really important. Not to criticize or get heavy with yourself because you have this impulse, this desire, this proclivity, but just understand what is spiritual and what is matter. You have to have a little sankhya there to be able to analyze things. You know, just like, okay, let's use myself as an example here. That I really like technology. So today, the last 2 days, Jagat and I have been having some ecstatic discussions on computers setting up the video system. And, you know, I'm feeling the hair of my body standing on end when I think of video switchers and what other things, encoders and things like, and Jagat is just like dancing in ecstasy, you know, like that, rolling on the ground. It's the first time I've seen him roll on the ground in about several years, but anyway. So I really have to understand. I'm using my material, let's say, impulses, desires, proclivities, whatever you may say, in Krishna's service. And I understand that my attachment to technology, although I'm using it in Krishna's service, is not like one of the bhavas that are mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's just something I'm using in Krishna's service. It comes from my psychophysical nature. I get excited by these things. Like right now, I'm thinking, one of the things we've been thinking of, I didn't talk to Jagat about this, is that I'm getting very tired of these Zoom conferences where you just, you know, this morning we had like 5 or 6 hours of Zoom conferences where you see all these faces and people getting bored. So I'm researching into how to do virtual reality Zoom conferences. Actually, there's several programs that do that right now. How you can enter into a virtual world with all the other devotees and sit down on tables and move around as you're talking and doing your GVC work. So I'm getting very excited about it. Wow. You know, so that excitement, I should not confuse with spirituality. That excitement is due to, you know, certain my psychophysical nature. So what the point I'm making, I'm using myself as an example and other instances as an example, is that we have to be honest about it, about what things are coming from our psychophysical nature and what things are actually coming from our spiritual impulses. You know, there are certain things in my life that are coming from spiritual impulses. Haven't figured out which ones yet, but anyways, some things are, you know, like I like speaking about the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very, you know, it's very ecstatic, as you see, you know, when talking about Lord Chaitanya. So that, you know, there's some spiritual impulses there in my heart, some of them. And so I have to be able to distinguish matter from spirit. This is a really important point. Actually, you know, I'm speaking about it in a humorous way, but it's an important point for advancing in devotional service, to be able to distinguish and not be ashamed of which one, and to be honest and to be vulnerable about what is what. You know, what is spirit and what is matter. And to advance, one needs to be able to understand these things. And you engage your material impulses in Krishna's service. There's nothing wrong about that. I mean, one thing, you know, like I have this material impulse, like to study science and all sorts of interesting things. To me, they're interesting. To other people, they're boring. Like I mentioned that when I start reading about what's in the cell, microbiology, I become very happy. Why do I become happy? Well, partially because it helps me prove the point that life comes from life. But another thing is, it's just my material propensity. I'm engaging in Krishna services. So one has to recognize. And, you know, we get so proud that we think that our material impulses are spiritual. This is an important lesson for everybody. Material impulses are not spiritual. They can be used, and they should be used in Krishna's service. And then you will actually be able to distinguish matter from spirit. And, you know, like the sadhus, they're not able to distinguish the material impulses from the spiritual impulses. They're actually looking at Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges, and they're experiencing what we call vicarious enjoyment. What do I mean by vicarious enjoyment? Vicarious enjoyment is that we enjoy materially by watching someone else and projecting our consciousness or projecting our concept upon what the other person is doing. That's why when people go to the grocery store, if they still go to the grocery store, their movie magazines with love stories in them. Because people read about these love stories in the movie magazines and they enjoy through these other people. So a sahaja, they will talk about Krishna, Radha Krishna's past, enjoy materially through hearing about Radha and Krishna. This is an important point. I mean, actually, it may be above everybody's head, but it's, you know, it's, I think it's the point should be made. They'll enjoy because they will actually enjoy materially hearing about Radha and Krishna, because they're projecting their mentality upon that particular description, like we do. I mean, for example, you know, someone who's interested in outer space may hear about the scientists, not scientists or astronauts or astronauts, going into a space capsule and just riding up. And then nowadays they have the cameras in there, and you're enjoying that because you're getting the feeling that you're there. So that's called vicarious enjoyment. So anyway, I think I belabored the point and discouraged half of the devotees.
Sugar Guru Dev.
Yeah.
Well, then how do we, like, as devotees, like when we really like get attraction for like hearing and chanting and like trying like the whole point is to try to remember and like
Yeah.
supposed to is how do we distinguish between vicariously
Well, we have
doing.
to be intelligent enough and introspective enough. That means honesty, being intellectually honest. It takes time. There's no single method. It takes time and introspection to be able to understand. And it's not wrong to have material impulses. I'm not trying to give people the message it's wrong. It's not wrong. It's something that we just need to be aware of. That's all. Just be enough introspective. Say that, you know, my desire when I look at technology, and I'm using it in Krishna service, my desire, you know, it's, you know, I enjoy manipulating matter. Just be honest with that. You know, just like, I mean, the other day, I took a canoe out. You know, I went in a canoe, and even though there were alligators there, you know, I still was bold enough to go paddling amongst the alligators. And I should, you know, if I start to think, wow, I mean, it can remind me of Krishna and then Yamuna too, you know. You know, I'm paddling Krishna down in the Manasi Ganga or something like that. But anyway, you know, it's just like I'm enjoying. So you have to be able to distinguish spiritual enjoyment, spiritual attraction, repulsion from material drive. That's all. I'm not saying stop anything you're doing. Just be honest and open with yourself. Spirit is spirit. Spirit is pleasing Krishna, pleasing the spiritual master. That's spirit. You know, love for Krishna, love for the spiritual master. And matter engaged in Krishna's service becomes spiritualized. So if I have some material propensity and I utilize it for Krishna, then it becomes spiritualized. And that's part of Krishna consciousness. It's called dovetailing. And we're all, I think most of us are dovetailing our propensity. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. That's great that you're dovetailing your propensities in Krishna's service. I have no problem with that. But I just have the intellectual honesty to understand it. That's all. You know, simple thing. No guilt. I'm not trying to get you all guilty. Oh my God, this is all my material impulses. Oh, I should never look at a computer again the rest of my life. Oh my God, I'm in complete mind. No guilt. Just use it in Krishna's service. Whatever you're good at. You're a businessman, then go in the stock market and make money for Krishna and enjoy it. That's fine. Just be honest about it. That my impulse is to invest in the stock market. Of course, hopefully you're not gambling. My impulse is to invest in the stock market, you know, with knowledge, not with gambling propensity. That's coming from my psychophysical nature. And I'm very happy I'm engaging in Krishna's service and Krishna's pleased with it. You know, Hare Krishna. Okay. Now that I've discouraged everybody in Krishna consciousness by this brief explanation. Or if one is a musician, it's the same thing. Like I see, Ishwar Chaitanya is very happy, you know, playing his bass guitar. Boom, 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 boom. So that's fine. Whatever you are, whoever you are, do it for Krishna, that's all. I'm not gonna give up what I'm doing just because I like doing that particular activity. Because that activity I can do best for Krishna. If you say, well, therefore you should do some austerity and do some activity that you don't like doing, that's ridiculous. Or something that you're very bad at. Let's say you should, okay, Maharaj, what are you worst at? And that's what you should do for Krishna. Well, let me think about it. I'm bad at dancing. Okay. So therefore, if you want to please Krishna, you should learn Bharatanatyam dancing. Because it's something you don't want to do and you're bad at it. So you should pick the thing that you hate the most. Not you don't hate the most, but you don't want to do the most. And do it for Krishna, and that's surrender. I heard devotees talk about that before. You know, pick the thing that you hate, not hate, but, you know, the thing that you'd be least inclined to do in this world and do it for Krishna. Okay, here's a question. Actually, someone guessed that I was going to say dancing for me. I mean, dance for Krishna, but I mean, professional dancing? If somebody told me you got to join the Rockettes in the Radio City Music Hall, that would be. So, what is the difference between utsaha and impulse? Utsaha is enthusiasm to serve Krishna, and impulse means we have material impulses from time to time. Okay. And so, what is the difference between vicarious enjoyment and genuine spiritual ecstasy? Vicarious enjoyment is when we're enjoying materially through what someone else does, whether it's Krishna or someone else in this material world. And we have the, like, for example, if I see someone, let's say if you like a particular type of food, let's say if you like pizza, for example, and you see someone eating pizza, and then seeing someone eating pizza, you actually experience the same sensations in your own, with your own tongue and belly and whatever else like that. And you're enjoying seeing someone eating pizza. Okay, so here's another one. Oh, here's a funny one. The question is, how about when the body gets older and the propensity is the one doesn't want to do anything? So you're used to doing nothing in Krishna's service. That's a hard one to engage in Krishna's service. Then you really have to go a little bit against your propensities. But ultimately, yes, the order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. And as one advances, one can put aside one's propensities. I mean, I'll give you an example. When I was a young devotee, around, what was the year? 1763. This is, it was after the Revolutionary War, 1700 and what, 79. So it was after the Revolutionary War. That's a joke. This is not talk about past lives here. So when I was a new devotee, I really wanted to go back to the university and get my PhD in science, probably physics, so I could work in the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Okay, that was really sense gratification. I mean, I was basically drooling at the mouth to go back to the university, not literally, figuratively, going to go back to the university to study what I liked the best. Wow. And so Prabhupada, we wrote Prabhupada, "Dear Srila Prabhupada, can I go back to the university and become a PhD and be able to work in your Bhaktivedanta Institute?" So Prabhupada at that time was encouraging people to get PhD and work in the Bhaktivedanta Institute, particularly other doors, Sataputta and other people. Anyway, so I thought, you know, Prabhupada's going to say, "Wow, great idea." And the best thing was my mother was going to pay for the whole thing, because my mother always wanted to have a son who was a doctor. You know, if not a medical doctor, at least another PhD. You know, that's my business, to make my mother proud of me. So anyway, so therefore, we wrote Prabhupada, "Can I get a PhD? And then Prabhupada wrote back, "What is the use of it?" And here I am. Oh, my brain wants to do this. And I really want to do this. How could Prabhupada do this to me? No, I didn't think like that. I did not think like that. The dream of my lifetime, to be, get a PhD in the university and study all that cool stuff in the university. For me, it was cool. I really liked it. I had like a 3.75 average or something like that. And I was really, it was just like, it was like opening up a candy store for a kid. And Prabhupada said, "What is the use? Let him just engage in serving in the temple." And there, all the air was let out of my balloon. And again, Punar Mushika Bhava, again become a simple brahmachari mouse. And then I did it. I passed the test. And guess what? I'm here today. So let's say if I just harassed Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada this, Prabhupada that, and Prabhupada finally agreed, all right, this guy's going to do it anyway. So, all right, go to the university. So where would I be today if I had pushed Prabhupada to go along with my ideas? Well, probably be, anyway, I'd be a devotee, but I certainly wouldn't be a sannyasi. I certainly wouldn't be happy. I'd be paying, involved in babies, bills, and business, the three B's. So by following the order of the spiritual master, even though it went against my material propensity, I'm here today and I'm happy. I was asked the other day, we were having a facilitation session with members of the GBC, North American GBC. What if you could give up your service, what would you do now? If you could just be relieved of your service. And I replied, I said, that's a terrible idea. I'm enjoying myself. I'm not going to give up my service. I'm not even going to answer your stupid question. So anyway, because if you satisfy the spiritual master, Prabhupada, then everything's accomplished. I think I have to end now because I got going too long. I know there are other questions, but it was an interesting discussion. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. See you tomorrow night. Hari Bol.